This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
16 years from today, Greg Gerstner will finally land the perfect cannonball. Epic splash. Unsuspecting friends. A work of art only possible because Greg is already meeting all these same people at AARP volunteer and community events that keep him active and involved and help make sure his happiness lives as long as he does. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/local.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Star Diary, the podcast from makers of BBC Sky and Night magazine. You can subscribe to the print edition of the magazine by visiting skynightmagazine.com or to our digital edition by visiting iTunes or Google Play.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Star Diary, a weekly guide to the best things to see in the Northern Hemisphere's night sky. In this episode, we'll be covering the coming week, from the 27th of June to the 3rd of July. I'm Ezzy Pearson, the magazine's news editor, and I'm joined on the podcast today by reviews editor Paul Money. Hello, Paul.
Hello there, Ezzy. Another time, another week.
Another week and another set of fabulous things in the night sky. So tell us, Paul, what's coming up this week?
Well, we ended last week with a bit of a challenge sort of thing with Venus and the Pleiades, and we start with another challenge, and it's back in the morning sky again. And the thing about this is that, again, if you're further south, your latitude, then this is actually a lot easier for you. So there's been a lot of talk about this parade of planets. Now, I've been mentioning the parade of planets for a long time, but there's something happening very interesting with this parade of planets, but it's a bit of a challenge for us because Mercury joins them, and it's been in the morning sky, but the problem is for us, it's very, very low. It's really lost. I mean, we always moan about Mercury being the one that's always in twilight when it is visible, but it has good and bad apparitions, and this one isn't a particularly good apparition for us because it's constantly in the brighter part of the twilight. So it's been very low, but the good news is, again, the Moon guides us to it, and so does Venus, because it's to the lower left of Venus. You do have to let the actual sky get a bit higher. So we're talking about the 27th now of June. And the thing about this is that the Moon is directly above Mercury. So once the Moon rises, keep watching and keep looking below, because a lone star will pop up above the horizon. Now, we've got the same old caveat. You really need an uncluttered horizon without a shadow of a doubt sort of thing. Find a gap between buildings or whatever sort of thing. But we are looking roughly towards the northeast, just to the right of northeast for this. So the key for this is actually to see the Moon first. I suppose Venus first, because that's the... Venus is so blazingly obvious, you can't miss that. And then to the left of Venus is the Moon. So once the Moon's up, I say, keep watching below it, and hopefully you'll get this little dot of light appear. And if you do, you've got Mercury. Now, the thing about this is that we've got the parade of planets. So if you actually see Mercury, the ironic, and this is very unusual, it doesn't happen because normally they're all mixed up. The naked eye, I have to emphasise, the naked eye planets, they literally go in order out from the sun. So literally you go Mercury, then Venus, then Mars, then Jupiter, then Saturn. So the naked eye planets, that is very unusual. I honestly can't remember the last time I saw that. I don't think I have actually seen that when, as I've been an astronomer. And that's, I hate to say this, I mean, obviously 40 years. I started when I was two. I try to get away with that when I do my talks, but it doesn't work, you know, never works. They don't believe me. I don't know why they don't believe me, but anyway. But that is rather unusual, I have to say. I mean, obviously, the two other outer planets that are in this mix, Uranus and Neptune, mess the order up a bit. Boo.
But you can't see those with a naked eye, so they don't count.
I mean, you could say you're following the steps of the ancients, because these are the ones they would have seen. So this would have been quite unusual. So it's well worth having a go at looking at that. I mean, Mercury is, I say, not at its best apparition this particular time. I'd advise, because the timing, and we were talking about around about 3:20 last week, you need to leave it a bit later so the sky will be lighter. That's the problem. So we're looking about 3:40. And again, the further north you are, the harder it will be because the sky will be a lot brighter itself. So 3:40 a.m., but don't leave it a lot later, because about three quarters of an hour later the sun rises. So you know we don't want you watching the sun and getting blinded by that. So we, you know, our usual caveat sort of thing, being safe and making sure you know when to stop observing sort of thing, certainly if you're sweeping with binoculars. So if you haven't got it within 10-15 minutes of that time, 3:40 a.m, then after that I would leave it, because the sky will be likely too bright anyway.
Yeah.
So even though it's Mercury sort of thing, I mean, it is a dot of light. So just you'll have to settle on just Venus and the other planets miss off Mercury. But it would be nice if you spotted Mercury.
It might be one of those ones where some of our listeners might think it's worth going and making the effort to find a nice clear sky, because you don't often get to see them all at once. So in order. So it might be, some people might want to do that.
Now, as it happens, Venus, of course, is also still moving. I mean, yeah, the planets are forever changing. The nearer planets, their motions are much more obvious. So Mercury, Venus and Mars often make the biggest motions across the sky, so we notice that more. Jupiter and Saturn, of course, a lot slower, and Uranus and Neptune. But to the naked eye, if you could see them with the naked eye, it would be almost imperceptible, even over a few weeks to a month or so. So, you know, it's one of those things that at least you can see them moving. And Venus does this, and then Venus is gradually moving to the lower left. It's dropping back towards the solar glare. So on the 30th, when they rise around about 3:40-ish, you should see Venus directly above Aldebaran. Now, again, Aldebaran, it's a challenge. It is a bright star, magnitude 1 star, so, you know, well worth going out and having a look at. But it, again, is battling the light nights. So Venus is your guide. So whereas the moon was the guide to Mercury, Venus is your guide in this particular case sort of thing. So you hopefully will get it. So that's in the morning sky. But shock, horror, wow. We can go back to the evening sky, you know, something more convenient. you don't have to get up for this, but because of the light nights, you do have to stay up fairly late to actually see it. And again, we're looking around about 11 o'clock at night when the sky is beginning to get darker. The moon is new on June the 29th, but by July the 1st, it should be viewable over in sort of like the northwestern sky as a very slim crescent, very low. It's not far from the Beehive Cluster, but that will be lost in the actual bright twilight itself. So again, you get another chance, but in a more convenient time, to see the Earth shine, this time in the evening. So you don't have to stay up late, do you, for that? So as it moves up, the moon will actually move up towards Leo. And as it does so on the 2nd and the 3rd, on the 2nd, I always think it looks a bit funny because you've got this slim crescent moon. But the way out
Thank
the sickle
of
Leo,
of
the sickle is this wonderful
podcast,
asterism. There's constellations, and then there are asterisms in that. And so, you know, we have extra shapes within the constellation that stands out. I mean, the Great Bear, we've got the Saucepan, the Plough, but the Great Bear is a whole mass of other stars. Leo's the same. The right-hand star, stars form what looks like a sickle. And it just looks funny that it looks like the moon is about to be sliced up by the sickle. So the moon lies to the right, in actual fact, of Eta and Regulus, Regulus being the brightest star of Leo. But the way out the actual sickle is angled, pointing down, it's almost as if it's hovering over it, ready to slice into it, sort of thing. So, I mean, well, if you're a Wallace and Gromit fan, so the moon's made of cheese, so there you are. You could use the sickle to make a slice of cheese.
Nice moon sandwich.
Yes, a lunar regolith sandwich. Oh, that'd be a bit rough, wouldn't it? Very gritty, I would have thought, really. So there we are. That's the moon. Now, finally, for this part of the week, sort of thing, because sometimes we don't have a lot happening within a week itself, sort of thing. Sometimes it's a bit shorter. We go back to the morning sky because we mentioned last week a comet passing a particular star. We've now got Mars, and it passes Omicron Piscium. And Omicron Piscium, again, is a naked eye star. It's not a particularly bright star, but Mars is a lot brighter, so you'll find Mars first, and then you'll notice there's a star nearby. And on July the 2nd and 3rd, Mars drifts south of the actual star itself. So I just like these little, I mean, again, you can take photographs and you show the motion of the solar system by doing that. So by photographing Mars, you could start earlier, you could do a wider picture, and take it sort of thing from July the 1st through to July the 4th or 5th, and get this sequence of Mars slowly moving past this particular star. I say slowly, actually it's moving quite a lot, it's quite fast. So, it's quite an interesting thing to see the motion of the solar system taking place, because it's very easy to think that everything's stationary, sort of thing. Apart from the moon, most things do tend to be stationary, or look as if they're stationary, until you get an example like this, and then you realise Mars is actually moving, against the background star. So there we are, passing Omicron Piscium, July the 2nd and 3rd. So there we are, that's that particular week done.
It certainly sounds like there's a lot of very interesting things to see in the night sky. A lot of things in the solar system passing by, things that are a bit further away, and seeing how our solar system moves against the background stars is always very interesting to me. So thank you very much for joining us today, Paul, and telling us all about the spectacular sights there are to see in the night sky.
My pleasure as always, Ezzy.
If you want to find out even more spectacular sights that will be gracing the night sky throughout the month, be sure to pick up a copy of BBC Sky at Night magazine, where we have a 16-page pull-out sky guide with a full overview of everything worth looking up for. Whether you like to look at the moon, the planets, or the deep sky, whether you use binoculars, telescopes, or neither, our sky guide has got you covered, with the detailed star charts to help you track your way across the night sky. From all of us here at BBC Sky at Night magazine, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Star Diary podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at skyatnightmagazine.com or head to Acast, iTunes, or Spotify.